Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. All right, so today's verse is from chapter 15. So let's go to chapter 15, which is entitled The Yoga of the Supreme Person. Yoga means the linking process. There are different types of yogas. There is Hatha Yoga, Jnana Yoga, Kriya Yoga, Raja Yoga, and there is Bhakti Yoga. Whatever yoga you subscribe to, it is a process by which you link with God. God is the Supreme. So tonight's verse is verse number 7, one of the most important verses in the entire Bhagavad Gita. So are you ready to chant and discuss verse number 7? Let's repeat after me. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha Mana Shastanindriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. Now try to say it the way I say it. Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana Mana Shastanindriyani Prakriti Sthani Karshati. Let's do the word for words. Please repeat. Mama, my, Eva, certainly, Angsha, fragmental particle. Now that's one of the key words of this verse. Remember that. Angsha. Play that again. Fragmental particle. Next. Jiva Loke. In the world of conditional life. So, I have a question. Where do we find the world of conditional life? Where is that? Here where? Yes. So whether it's Huntington Beach or Beverly Hills, Orange County, anywhere in this material world, that's conditional life. What is the opposite of conditional life? What's that? Spiritual, good. Transcendental. If something is conditioned, then the opposite of something being conditioned would be... Oh, that was not good. All right. Unconditioned. Jai. Can I get a better word for something unconditioned? Besides saying unconditioned, is there another word that shows me that you actually understand what it means to be unconditioned? What? Pure, clean? Not bad. Sort of. All right. When you are imprisoned, are you conditioned? So, when you're out of prison, what are you? Free. So, the opposite of conditioned would be freedom. All right. And where do we find the freedom world or the unconditioned world? You said it in the beginning. The spiritual world. Very good. Let's continue. Jiva Bhuta. The conditioned living entity. So, the conditioned living entities, therefore, are prisoners. Didn't I give the example just a second ago? That condition means prisoner. So as long... Okay, now, what is the living entity? The living entity is what? What's that? Soul. What makes the soul conditioned? The body. Excellent. So as long as you have a material body, you're conditioned, you're a prisoner. Now I have a question. Who is the number one, topmost, most advanced soul with a body? Lord Brahma. Excellent. Excellent. Yes. So as long as you have a material body, you are a conditioned living entity. And when you no longer have a material body, then you are what? And don't say unconditioned living entity. Yes, you are liberated. Liberated. That would be an even better word than free. Remember I asked, what is the opposite of conditioned? It would be liberated. When you have conditions put on you, that constricts you. But when there are no more conditions on you, you are liberated. For instance, everybody tries to have a relationship with the least amount of conditions. For instance, your parents may say, all right, you can watch TV, but this. So many conditions. You would rather have them say, you know what? You can watch television, no conditions. Or, you got some money today. All right? So, did your parents say, all right, you can have this money, but, right? No, they said you can do whatever you want? Oh, no conditions. You're liberated. Very good. Oh, I hope I don't burst your bubble. So, you want, in the material world, you want situations with the least amount of conditions. And so, spiritual or liberated life means there's no more conditions. Okay, let's go on. Sanatanaha. Eternal. Now, I'm going to explain to you what this Sanatan eternal means. Who can quote a verse in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita that explains what Krishna is saying here, Sanatana? There's a very strong verse in chapter 2 where Krishna explains what it means to be Sanatan. Anyone who finds the appropriate verse, what? No. You're close. Yes. What's the verse? That's all? Very good. I would consider that equal to the verse I'm thinking. No. Sorry, that doesn't apply here. There's a better verse. Nimai Charan has found a verse that's equal, but there's a better one. Yes. He quoted 20. No, that's not the verse. All right, look at verse number 12. What does verse number 12 say? Neither?
Never.
Okay, go on. What's that? So do you see how that's almost the same as Nimai Charan's verse? Never was there a time when I did not exist. Two negatives means what? Positive. You learned that in school, right? They teach you that. So, never was there a time, Krishna says, when I did not exist. So that means, that's the meaning of Sanatan. You always existed. Now, is he referring to what you see in the mirror? Huh? No. Because you all have a birthday, right, Govind? What's your birthday? 15th. April 15th, not just 15th. Because I know when you were born, your parents called me. Yes, long time ago. How old are you now? Oh, he's counting the 1 year in the womb? Okay. Fine. Prabhupada considered the months in the womb. Prabhupada said, when you come out of the womb, you're already 1 year old. But in Western terms and in general terms, everybody says you were born when you come out of the womb. All right. So what you see in the mirror is not eternal, is it? No. But that's not what Krishna is talking about. He's talking about the soul. Okay, let's go on. Next word in the verse. Manaha, with the mind. Shastani, the six. Indriyani, senses. So, the senses, there are two sets of senses. Actually, three sets. According to the Vedas, you have the working senses, the knowledge acquiring senses, and you have the internal sense, which was just mentioned. What's the internal sense? No. What? No, the body is made of senses. What's the internal sense, the one you can't see? That's a sense? Where do thoughts come from? Mind. The mind is considered the sense within. You can't see it. Now let's look. So the mind, intelligence, ego, and consciousness is called the senses within. All right, they're the subtle senses. Now you have 10 gross senses, which I said is in two groups. Pay attention. Working and knowledge acquiring. So how do you acquire knowledge? Eyes. No. Tongue and skin. That's how you acquire knowledge. Then you have 5 working senses. You work with your and legs, feet, your legs, okay? Then you have throat, okay, or voice, genital, anus. And when these things aren't working, you got a problem. Right? No, for a lot of people, not being able to use their rectum is a big problem. And in some cases, you can die. Right? Or, I'll give you another example. When I had my kidney stone, because I had the kidney stone, I felt like I always had to go to the bathroom. But because of the kidney stone, nothing comes out. You know when you have to urinate? You feel like, oh, my God. Right? You stop everything and then, right? When you have a kidney stone, you feel like, oh, I got to go to the bathroom. But nothing. So it's very, and it's painful. So don't get kidney stones. Don't eat too much salt. All right? Because that's what's going to cause kidney stones. Or too much calcium causes kidney stones also. So these are the 11 senses. The mind is the internal sense. 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And 5 working senses. Like, for instance, your hands, you'd be surprised. When my wife, earlier in January, she slipped at work in the bathroom because somebody peed on the floor and she didn't notice it and she slipped and she almost broke her wrist. But it was, the doctor said, you just barely missed breaking your wrist. So she had to wear a brace for 6 weeks. And then she realized, oh my God, with your hands, you do so much with your hands when you don't have one hand, right? It's very difficult. Maybe you should sit over there so you don't disturb birthday boy. Until you lose something, you don't appreciate what it is you have. Okay? Yes, and it just needed 6 weeks to heal. But driving with one hand, she couldn't do any housework. I had to do all the housework. So just, you know, or maybe you've had, you know, a broken foot. Broken arm. You're restricted. All right, let's go on. Prakriti. In material nature. Is there another nature besides material nature? Yes, what is it? Spiritual nature. Stani, situated. Karshati, is struggling hard. And that is why this material world is not a good place. Because everybody is struggling hard. Right now, you're a kid. What's your only struggle? School. Other than school, right? Life's good, isn't it? Get to play. You eat. Your parents are taking care of everything. Just wait till you become a parent. Right, Nimai Charan? Nimai Charan knows all about that. So, you're young now. Relish these years. Because once you get older, this word karshati becomes very, very significant. When you're in school and your parents are taken care of, when you're young, life is good. But then, just like, for instance, me, when I was 19 years old, my father one night said to me, if you're going to live in this house, you're going to do what I say. If not, there's the door. And I was at the point in my life where I said, I don't want to have to do what you say. I had to leave. It was 11 o'clock at night. I packed a few things. I was gone. That's when I understood this word. I didn't know about it, but that was the beginning. Karshati, you're on your own. Now it's you versus the world. Right now, mommy and daddy take care of you. Yes. But it's not going to last. Someday you are going to struggle. Okay? Look at the translation. Please repeat. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Kush, who is my? In this verse, who is the my? Huh? Krishna. Very good. Well, you got to understand who it is. It's not Barack Obama or that other idiot, Romney. It's Krishna. All right. Please repeat. Are my eternal fragmental parts? Due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which include the mind. Now, put your thinking caps on. Look at the translation. They are struggling very hard with the six senses because of what reason? Conditional life. Therefore, what is the remedy? If you don't want to struggle very hard with the six senses, then what should be your remedy? Get out of conditional life. What did we say is the opposite of conditional life? Liberated free, right. Therefore, Krishna says at the end of Bhagavad Gita, surrender to me. Look at, don't lose your place. Go to chapter 7, verse 14. I pointed this verse out hundreds of times. I even did a class here with you kids on this 7:14. And I told you, it's one of the most important verses of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, sir. What does it say for 7:14? All right, stop there. Read it again out loud. So, what energy consists of the three modes? How many energies are there? Two. So, which of the two is comprised of the material of the modes? Material. Continue. So to say it again, nice. Read the translation again. Ooh, difficult, struggling. Welcome to the material world. Continue. What word is the nicest word in that verse? Easily. Everybody loves that word easy, right? When things are easy, ooh, it's like for a shopper, what word is their favorite word? Free, yes, right? So words like easy, free, ah. So what should you do if you want to conquer over this material energy, Kush? What does it, what should you do? Huh? Surrender to Krishna. Where is Kamlesh Patel? It's all right. So, if you want, pay attention, if you want this liberated free life, and according to Kush, what should you do? And if you don't surrender, then you're going to have conditional life, and conditional life means struggle. Take your pick. Do you want to struggle or do you want to be free? Me, I want to be free. Therefore, I surrender to Krishna. Shall we look at the purport? Are you liking the class? I'm liking it even more. And the GBC has arrived. Let's give a big Hari Bol to Sri Vallabha Jai. All right, now follow along in the purport. We're going to go nice and slowly. Please follow along. In this verse, the identity of the living being is clearly given. The living entity is the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord eternally. So does that mean, I'm going to ask a question now, does that mean, Ashna, that when I go back to the spiritual world and I'm liberated, will I still be fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord? What do you think? I'm asking you. Yes. Otherwise, he would not use the word eternally. Okay, let's go on. It is not that he assumes individuality in his conditional life, and in his liberated state, becomes one with the Supreme Lord. Madhav, what philosophy teaches that in your liberated state, you become one with God? What is that? Monism or Mayavad or impersonalism. Very good. Thank you. He is eternally fragmented. It is clearly said, Sanatana. Everybody say that word? According to the Vedic version, the Supreme Lord manifests and expands himself in innumerable expansions. Govind, what is the meaning of innumerable? Not bad. Anybody else give me a better definition of what? Unlimited? Not, oh, Govind! Come and get your birthday blessing. Excellent. Very good, Kush. You answered good. Good boy. All right. Who told you to bless anybody? Jeez. All right. Of which the primary expansions are called Vishnu Tattva. Is that us? Are we Vishnu Tattva? Yes or no? Anybody think they're Vishnu Tattva? Good. And the secondary expansions are called the living entities. Is that us? In other Veds, the Vishnu Tattva is the personal expansion, and the living entities are the separated expansions. By his personal expansion, he is manifested in various forms like Lord Ram. Everybody say, Narsinghadev, whose appearance day is coming up very soon. Vishnumurti, and all the predominating deities in the Vaikuntha planets. What is the meaning of the word Vaikuntha? Who knows the meaning of that word? Vaikuntha. Nimai. Without anxiety, meaning no struggle. Right? We had this word struggle today in this verse. So there's no struggle. When there's a struggle, that's anxiety. Struggle means anxiety. So in the material world, you have anxiety, you have struggle. And in the spiritual world, no anxiety, no struggle. The separated expansions, the living entities, are eternally servitors. So Rohan, does that mean that when you go back to Godhead, will you still be a servitor? Thank you. The personal expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the individual identities of the Godhead, are always present. Similarly, the separated expansions of living entities have their identities as fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. The living entities also have fragmental portions of his qualities. Who is the his? Kush. Who are we talking about? No, his qualities. Who is that referring to? Krishna or God. Very good. Of which independence is one. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his or her personal individuality and a minute form of independence. What does minute mean, Mr. You? What does the word minute mean? Small. How small? Very small. Okay. This is this purport is so important. I'll repeat. Every living entity, as an individual soul, has his or her personal individuality and a minute form of independence. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. Now, just look at that. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. If one becomes a conditioned soul, what was the soul before he was conditioned? Liberated! This substantiates Prabhupada's statement that we fell from the spiritual world. You understand? Because you do not become unless you were already if you be just like your parents got Brahman initiated, correct? So there was a time when they were not Brahman initiated. Now they became Brahmans, right? So Prabhupada is saying here, by misuse of independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. Meaning, originally, you were a liberated soul. Same way, in the material world, is a person born a prisoner? Is he born a criminal? This guy who killed the kid in Florida. You know the story? Zimmerman. He just got arrested, right? For over a month, 45 days, he was not a prisoner, even though he killed this black kid. Which goes to show, stay away from Florida, folks. It's a weird place to be. So, the point is, you're not a criminal until you commit a crime. Here is the original crime. Misuse of independence. For instance, are you driving? Do you have your own car? Oh, you have your own car? No, that's not the question. Jeez. Your own car? Oh, he gave you. Same thing. Okay, so it's not really your car. Whose car is it? Right? But he's given you. Now, what if you start racking up traffic tickets? What's he going to do? Ah! That's called misuse of the car privileges. Correct? Same way. Say, it won't happen to you, but you know there are people who drive under the influence of alcohol. So if they're convicted of a DUI, what does the state do? Take away the license. They misused their privilege, and as a result, punishment. Same way. You misuse your independence, you become a prisoner of Huntington or wherever, somewhere in the material world. Didn't I say that at the beginning? So this is very important. By misuse of that independence, one becomes a conditioned soul. And by proper use of independence, he is always liberated. Again, that intimates that the original position was the liberated position. By proper use of independence, you are always liberated. Let's continue. In either case, he is qualitatively eternal as the Supreme Lord is. Qualitative. Are we quantitatively eternal? If we were quantitatively eternal, then there would be nothing you couldn't do. Didn't Krishna jump off a mountain 80 miles, right, with Balaram when they were being chased by Jarasandha and he set fires and Balaram and Krishna jumped off? Can you jump off a mountain, right? Can you, if you were quantitatively equal to Krishna, you could lift Govardhan Hill at the age of 7. But you're not quantitatively equal to Krishna. But are you qualitatively equal? In what sense? Good. You're eternal. Very good. Let's continue. Follow along. In the liberated state, one is freed from this material condition and is under the engagement of transcendental service unto the Lord. in one's conditioned life, one is dominated by the material modes of nature and forgets the transcendental loving service of the Lord. As a result, one has to struggle very hard to maintain his or her existence in the material world. For me, growing up as a Catholic, this reminds me of the story of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, in their original state, were in paradise, the Garden of Eden. And they could talk with God. They could see Him. And God created this garden for them, Garden of Eden. And God said, all the trees here, everything is here for you. This is one tree over here. Don't eat that fruit. Because that tree is the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that fruit. You can eat all the other fruits, just not this tree. But what happened? Eve ate from the apple. She gave to Adam. And as soon as they misused their free will, who did they disobey? God. Immediately their consciousness changed. They noticed that they were naked. They were naked, but they didn't know anything. It was like children. If children are naked, they don't know they're naked. They're innocent. So now they had knowledge of good and evil. And as a result, God banished them from, now you will have to work by the sweat of your brow. Karshati. Didn't we study the word karshati in today's verse? Struggle. When they were in the Garden of Eden, there was no struggle. God gave them one simple thing, and they couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. So it's very simple. So what Prabhupada is saying here, right? As long as you are engaged in Krishna's service, that is proper use of your minute independence. Same way in this family. If you boys do what your mother and father tell you to do, will you be happy or sad? Happy. What do I always tell, not only you, all the Namahat kids, for the past, 94, so almost 20 years, what do I always say? Obey your parents. Because if you do that, you're going to be happy. But if you disobey your parents, then so many things are going to get, like I told you the story of me. What did my father say? Or get out. Right. So, obey your parents and obey Krishna. All right. Let's continue. The living entities, not only human beings and the cats and dogs, but even the greater controllers of the material world, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Vishnu, are all parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, who is the Supreme Lord? Krishna. They are eternal, not temporary manifestations. The word karshati, struggling or grappling hard, is very significant. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. And by the way, earlier in this Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada makes the analogy. Prabhupada is saying here, we're shackled. So, what are the iron chains that are shackling us? Anybody know? What about the body? What do you say? What kind of desire specifically? Sex desire. That is how we are shackled by iron chains. Sex desire. You become free from sex, you're practically liberated. Not so easy. Not so fast. Not very easy. Yes, Nimai Charan? Yes. Yes. All right, let's continue. The conditioned soul is bound up as though shackled by iron chains. He is bound up by the false ego, and the mind is the chief agent which is driving him in this material existence. When the mind is in the mode of goodness, his activities are good. When the mind is the mode of passion, his activities are troublesome. And when the mind is in the mode of ignorance, he travels in the lower species of life. Based on what you just read, what does Lord Chaitanya first say about the mind? Yes. What does that mean? Right. Cleans the mind. That's Lord Chaitanya's first instruction. So, when I see you kids are very fond of kirtan, that makes me very happy. Because that means you want to cleanse your mind. So I hope you're all doing japa, yes? And you're doing lots of kirtan? Good. Don't stop. Can you clean the mind too much? No. When Lord Chaitanya was cleaning the Gundicha temple, he cleansed it twice. Do you clean your room twice in the same breath? That's what Lord Chaitanya did. So your mind, you cannot clean enough. Clean it by chanting. Everybody. Back to the purport. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is covered by the material body with the mind and the senses, and when he is liberated, this material covering perishes, but his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. The following information is there in the Madhyaninayana Shruti. Sava esha brahma nishta idam shariram matyam atisridya brahmabhi pasampadya brahmana pasyati brahmana srinoti brahmanai vedam sarvam anubhavati. It is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. Who can tell me what it means to revive? Yes. Can you revive something that never existed? No. You can only revive something that appears to be dead, and then you bring it back. There are instances in the Bhagavatam, Maya Danava and Shukracharya is able to revive the demons who were killed by the demigods. And when he does that, when they do that, the demigods are freaking out. Oh my God, we just killed these guys and now they're back again. So, when he says here, look very carefully, he revives his spiritual body again. That gives more evidence that the spiritual body was already there. That is your original position. Spiritual body. Okay. And in his spiritual body, he can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as it is, as he is. From Smriti, also, it is understood, Vasanti Yatra Purusha Sarve Vaikuntha Murtaya. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godheads. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnumurti. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The words, Mamai Vangsha, everybody say that word. Fragmental parts and parcels of the Supreme Lord are also very significant. The fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is not like some material broken part. We have already understood in the second chapter that the spirit cannot be cut into pieces. This fragment is not materially conceived. It is not like matter which can be cut into pieces and joined together again. That conception is not applicable here, because the Sanskrit word sanatana, everybody say, or eternal, is used. The fragmental portion is eternal. It is also stated in the beginning of the second chapter that in each and every individual body, the fragmental portion of the Supreme Lord is present. Dehinosmin ita dehe. That fragmental portion, when liberated from the bodily entanglement, revives, there's that word again, revives its original spiritual body. You get that? Original spiritual body. That's why Prabhupada says we fell from the spiritual world. Original spiritual body. In the spiritual sky, in a spiritual planet, and enjoys association with the Supreme Lord. It is, however, understood here that the living entity, being the fragmental part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, is qualitatively one with the Lord, just as the parts and parcels of gold are also gold. Thus ends this wonderful verse and purport. Everybody chant the Maha Mantra. If there's an offering to be made, the offering should be made. I will answer questions after a short kirtan. I have to revive my spiritual body. Okay? So give me a second to revive. Do the offering now. And then we will take questions. And Mukund, play drum.
Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Krishna Gopala Govinda Ram Shri Madhusudana Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Gopala Govinda Ram Sri Madhusudana. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha. Hari Haraye Namaha.
Your question, sir. In order to see Krishna in this material world, you have to develop the same kind of consciousness that qualifies you to be in the spiritual world. What is it that prevents it? Okay. Is God in your heart? We know that, correct? How come you can't see? They're not what? Yes, they're not purified. Is God everywhere? How come we don't see? Same answer. We're not purified. So that's why Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Darpana Marjanam. You cleanse the mirror of the mind. When the, you know, shaving, if the mirror is foggy, are you going to shave? You're going to clean that mirror first. Why? What happens if you try to shave with a foggy mirror? Yeah, you'll be cut. You're right. You want a clean mirror. Right? Clean mirror, now you can see. Therefore, very good. Lord Kapiladev told his mother, Bhakti Yoga dissolves the subtle material body. So, what happens? As you chant Hare Krishna, as you do devotional service, the subtle body is becoming purified. When that subtle body is completely purified, even though you have this material body, it has now become a spiritual material body. Prabhupada gives the example, iron rod. But if you stick the iron rod in the fire long enough, and that fire is strong enough, after some time that iron rod is what? Fire. Same way. What we're doing now is we're trying to Krishnaize the body and mind and senses. The more you do devotional service, the more you're fired up in devotional service, you're getting closer and closer to that. It is called Jivan Mukta, liberated even in this material consciousness, material life. That's the whole idea of Krishna. And that's why Lord Chaitanya says, Cheto Darpana. That's why we say, everything comes from hearing and chanting. You nicely do hearing and chanting, everything is going to fall into place. No hearing and chanting can't help you. It all begins from there. Next question. Any other questions? No more questions? Then question.